The AFEM Industry Insider is brought to you by This Is Distorted, the world's biggest producer and syndicator of electronic music programs and podcasts. For more information, go to thisisdistorted.com or at This Is Distorted on socials. On air, on demand, on brand. This is Distorted.
This is the Industry Insider from the Association of Electronic Music.
The AFEM Industry Insider.
Hello and welcome to the Association for Electronic Music Industry Insider podcast recording. This week, we're focused on Brazil as a market. It's now the eighth largest recorded music market in the world, with a 14.1% year-on-year growth in 2025 and a significant and growing force within the global electronic music scene, which has recorded a 15.1 billion cap in 2025. But what is happening on the ground? Let's find out today. The Association for Electronic Music is really about connecting communities for insight and education. And Brazil is a huge market that I think isn't always fully understood by a lot of the European audiences. And also, I think there's a huge amount of music and culture flowing out of Brazil at the moment that we want to learn about together today. So we've got five leading voices from across the Brazilian electronic music ecosystem today to take stock of where the market is, what's driving the momentum, and any structural challenges that need to be addressed. So we'll be covering the state of distribution, the independent sector, artists and label landscape, the streaming infrastructure, and gender representation today. Speakers today include Nazan Carneiro from NZPR, Rafael Nazareth from Hot Beats Music Conference, Marianne Flo, artist and Lady of the House Brazil Ambassador, and Fernanda Almeida from TuneCore Brazil. So let's get into our first conversations.
The Association for Electronic Music presents
Industry Insider.
Nazan, welcome. Perhaps you'd give us a little bit of an overview of your background and history within the Brazil music market.
Hi, Feli, and congratulations for the initiative. It's very important to have an organization such an FM discussing all the important things in the Brazilian market, which is a market that has grown a lot and has brought a lot of attention to our artists, to our events, and it's a pleasure to be with you once again. I spent a couple of years involved in the industry. My background is from event producing. And in 2018, I started writing for DJ Mag Brazil. And in 2023, I was chosen to be the editor-in-chief of DJ Mag in Brazil. So always in touch with many artists and the clubs and the festivals and all the electronic music scene. And this way, I became the only Brazilian journalist to have ever written the global cover for DJ Mag. I wrote an article about ALOC history, which is top three artists in the DJ Mag, top DJs. It's very important to us, as well as Vintage Culture's top 11 and many other artists in this top 100 DJs for the first time, I believe, a country that it's not, the Netherlands, had two artists in the top 10 last year. So yeah, thank you so much. And I also run the NZPR, a public relations agency responsible for the communication of festivals, clubs, record labels, artists, and also representing conferences such as Hot Beat Music Conference in the first years, the Lisbon Dance Summit, and others. So pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Nazan. And I think that's interesting. You mentioned some of the big Brazilian names that have broken through in the last couple of years. How do you think they first cracked the international market? Like, why did ALOC get, you know, early success in breaking internationally?
Well, ALOC, he was working on some music that could be understood from the mainstream point of it. And there's also another thing that during that time, around 2016, 2015, there was a huge change on the exchange rate in Brazil. So the difference between Brazilian reals, our currency, and the dollar, just like exploded, and it became harder to the event producers to book international artists. And I believe that helped in a way that so these event producers, they had more attention driven to our national artists. So investing in artists. And there were a lot of people learning how to produce more music, better music, and more artists getting involved in music producing. And ALOC is one of them. And he was looking for being more, to have more music understood by the mainstream. And that's when the Brazilian bass exploded. It's a huge influence in the underground scene and also in the mainstream. And he brought also a lot of people with him in this international growth, people who were also producing Brazilian bass style, which became well known not only in Brazil but also many other countries.
That's really interesting. I didn't think of, I suppose it's an unintended positive consequence of a bad thing happening. So the Brazilian real lowering in value means that you have a stronger domestic market, and then that begins a platform, I suppose, for that international export. And how do you feel about the landscape of PR in Brazil? Like, what are the strategies to get into Brazil and break it as an international market? Do you feel like you have to come and tour? Is there anything else that you think makes sense if you're looking as a European DJ to make inroads into Brazil as a market?
Yeah, well, we had this discussion recently in the Lisbon Dance Summit, and we were talking about the Brazilian dance music scene. And we agreed that it's important for artists to understand what the Brazilian music scene is, because we're not only hiring artists and from the talent buyer perspective, but we're also exporting artists. So we care about the music that is being produced by Brazilians with Brazilian style in many categories, from tech house to techno and others. So I think this is an important thing of imagining how to enter in the market to get aligned with what's happening there. And of course, the PR can support on sharing this information about the artists, the label, the festivals, with the bigger audience. But it's very important to be connected with what's happening in Brazil.
And vice versa, do you feel like there is a piece of advice you would give to Brazilian DJs that are perhaps watching this and wanting to break into Europe? You're living in Lisbon right now. Do you feel like young Brazilian DJs have to come to Europe to spend time, or can you wait and try and build your audience before coming across and basing yourself in Europe?
Well, I'll say that the Brazilian audience in general gives more attention if the artist is also recognized in the other countries. It's something that shows credibility. It shows that the artist has achieved something important to his career, which it's highly considered by the audience and also talent buyers. So if I was an artist and I had the opportunity to get some gigs in the other countries, it would be good. You will learn, you will get more credibility, and you will build bridges.
That's interesting. And how much of the kind of Brazilian momentum do you think is represented by those like two or three DJs that we mentioned at the start of the call? Do you think there's lots of little scenes that are happening in Brazil that are maybe not understood?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, since I got involved with electronic music in 2002, there was this huge, let's say, equilibrium in the techno and acid techno and the psytrance, you know? And I see that throughout the years, you know, the dance music industry is always changing and reading other genres, bringing it back. But the techno and the psytrance were always there somehow. And the psytrance industry, let's say, in Brazil, it's pretty huge. And it's today shared throughout many different states. Brazil is a country with 26 states. So imagine that a couple of years ago, we would mention only about six cities with the highly representative dance music scenes. And today I would say from 12 to 15, you know, and from all regions, South, Southeast, Northeast, and North region in the Amazon region. Yeah, in the Amazon region, there's plenty of electronic music events as well.
Wow, that's actually quite a lot. I didn't realize how many sustainable cities there'd be for touring. It's going to take a lot of, I guess, energy to put into that kind of market.
Absolutely. And there are several genres in these different areas. You know, as I said, psytrance, techno, tech house, minimal, and, you know, the Brazilian funk, obviously. And yeah.
That's great. One final question for you. I want you to put on your fortune teller hat. And can you give me one prediction that you think will happen in the market in the next 12 to 18 months that people should be paying attention to? It can be live, it can be recorded, it can be something infrastructural, any sort of trends that you see happening with audiences in Brazil?
Well, I see techno is always there, you know, but there are many genres that can be explored, and they are growing. So to listen to Brazilian artists is very important. And I would also check for the event producers, what are the brands that are doing the events there? Well, also for the DJs, because there are many international brands that are looking to this situation, as we all are. Brazilian market is expanding, the audience is growing, so there's more space for other events to come to the country, and also the national brands are growing, like for example, Sodré Kiboa of Vintage Culture. Today is one of the biggest events we have in the country. But yeah, basically, the audience is growing, there's space for lots of artists and lots of events.
That's great. Thank you, Nazan. Great to speak to you today. Our next guest is Rafael Nazareth. Rafael, hello.
Hi, Phelan. Pleasure to be here. My first time.
Thank you for taking part. You're the founder of Hot Beats Music Conference. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about what that is and what your role is in the Brazilian industry.
Yes, I started in the industry 20 something years ago as a DJ, a music producer, event producer too. And after like almost two decades, I realized that also I had to give back something to like to the industry. So I started doing small talks, workshops, and that led to bringing IMAC, that is the biggest music school here in Brazil, to Rio de Janeiro. And then I started this project. It's almost 10 years now with the school, with also not only teaching new becoming artists, but also bringing up more of the culture for the next generation. So that led to the conference, because every year I would like bring for the whole year, bring some artists or professionals to the school, not to continue the teaching, not only like teaching DJ techniques or music production techniques, but also the whole industry culture. And then after some years, that it became so big that we had to make another project and start the Hot Beats Music Conference. So this year was our third year. It already started big, but now we grew a lot. So we are very happy with what we achieved here in the music conference too.
It looks like an impressive lineup this year. When you speak to the people that are participating in the education and the conference, do you think they have similar questions to those that are being raised at ADE or IMS? Or do you think there is a unique set of challenges that face Brazilian artists and producers?
Yes, I think this year we started lining up with all the other conference too, because as I said in the beginning, in Brazil, of course, our market is so it's much newer than other in Europe and the States and in other part of the country. So the first thing was to bring the culture them to talk about a little more of the industry. So after the third year, but not also this almost 10 years we're doing inside the school, I think nowadays all the industry is getting a little bit more professional. So also the questions and the culture, everything is lining up with Europe too. Of course, we can't, we're so like, we still, I was talking to the AD with like a baby with Europe because the market there is so longer before ours, but we're not acquiring anymore. So we're getting a little bit fast to where they are. So I think today, the market, of course, of everything is globally today. So the information, it's very fast and everybody's also traveling more and getting to know everything more fast. So I think the conference today, I also was last year in the East. So I thought we're getting there fast. So I think we're in a good path today.
That's interesting. And when you speak to the people that are participating, like for example, this year, I think you had, you know, Beatport, Get Physical, Electronic Groove were all there. Do yes. people want to build their own labels and their own brand in Brazil, or are they looking, do you think, to get signed to a Drum Code or a Defected or some international label? Like, what is the aspiration, do you feel, for the new generation of Brazilian artists?
Yes, I think a little bit of both, because as an upcoming market that are nowadays already thinking they it's not only emerging but they got there already. Everybody wants to like crack and break and to get in a big label and a major. But today, as more people are knowing about the industry, they already figured out that it's also good to have their own labels or to release in a little bit smaller or even more effective labels. So I think there's a little bit of both of this kind. So I think with an information, people not only wanting to go to like the big labels, but also this new information about you can have it's not impossible. I know it's hard, it's work, but you can do your own label and also you can release in small labels and you can be as effective as also the majors.
I think that makes a lot of sense, that there's an aspiration to build something in their home market as well as that international recognition. A lot of the association audiences are businesses in electronic music. They maybe go to IMS and Amsterdam Dance Event, and this is another conference they have the option of go to. What do you think is the value add for someone coming over to Brazil? Do you think that by spending time on the ground as the industry, you can learn something different that you just can't get through emails and calls?
Sure. Nowadays, as everybody's only on like virtual places, the conferences, not only Hot Beats, of course, all the conferences in the world are making this thing happen, that the importance of you being there physically, like talking to people, it's so much more effective than only by email, by I don't know, calls and WhatsApp or any other kind. And we were just talking about this last year and also this year, that there's lots of people from the industry that they know each other for like 10 years, but they never had the chance of being physically in the same place. So the conference was so fun and so good for the business because the people were there. So they could talk and they could like hang out, and that was for networking, that was like amazing. So I think the conferences, they have a very good place, and I think they're going to grow a lot because people now, they know the importance more than ever, the importance of being there physically for networking and doing business. And each year, we hear a lot of so many businesses being done in the conference that it makes everything make sense.
Interesting. And just on the educational level, through the IMEC kind of work that you do, I'm interested in knowing, do you think there's anything that the industry or us as an association should be doing to support the education? Should AFM be doing webinars in Portuguese, or is there industry involvement that you want to see? Like, how do we help the education initiatives that you have?
Yes, we can get every help that we can get for everyone. So AFM, that's the biggest one association in the world. So for electronic music, it's been amazing to have you guys here. Of course, if we do in Portuguese, it will be help a lot. But if we can, I don't know, do translations or have, I don't know, something that could help. Because in Brazil, lots of people, they have English as their second language, but we can't like make this for everyone. So I think it would be good because I think in Brazil, to for us, the big issue here is to be more professional. So how do we get more professional? I think it's by teaching, by the culture, and by this kind of projects and this kind of conferences and webinars and workshops and everything that we can pass more information. I think that will help a lot because we have the talent here. We always had the talent. But I think the professionalism and information, I think that would be the key thing for the upcoming artists to get there and get faster, because I think the information that it was missing in the past.
That's great. Thank you, Raphael. And finally, the same final question I asked Nazan: what is your prediction for the next 12 to 18 months in the market? And it can be a genre, or it can be audience, or it can be technological trends, anything that you think that our audience should know about as what's happening next in the Brazilian market?
Yes, about genre, I think Brazil always had their, we call like our flavor, our sauce. And in every genre, like we had the bass house that we like called here Brazilian bass, that Nazan talked about, where a lot came from, and lots of big artists. Now we're doing like the Afro house wave that everybody in the world are playing so hype, and we have in Brazil lots of artists. We had lots of artists in trance too. We have in techno, we have on house and tech house. But I think every Brazilian artist, even if they're doing the same genre in the world, they have this special sauce that only Brazilians have here, and because of the music culture and other things that we have here. I don't know if the carnival, I don't know if the samba, I don't know if this, even the soccer, I don't know, but we have a special flavor here. But I think the thing that Brazil is going to be different for the 8 or 12 months is a little bit, I said it before, is I think the industry in Brazil is getting more professional. So you're going to see more artists being internationally known because they're going to be more prepared. Because as I said, the talent we always had, but now the industry is getting more professional. So I think we're going to be have more artists that can be famous internationally, and also we're going to have more things happening here in Brazil that people are going to internationally going to look here Brazil more, because you know, events and other things here, because I think the professionalism here in Brazil is getting stronger, and I think that would be the key switch that people are going to look more to Brazil, not only of emerging market, but as a big market as always Brazil had supposed to be.
That's great. Thank you very much, Raphael. It was great speak to you today. The next person with that secret special Brazilian sauce is Marianne Flo. Hello, Marianne. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello, guys. Nice to meet you, Finley. It's a pleasure to be here, participating in this conversation, which I think is very important. And I want to say thanks for Lila McKenzie, who invited me to be ambassador of Lady of the House. And I'm very honored with this invitation. And I hope to help a lot to grow to the Brazilian market and also support other women in the market. I started my career in 99. My name is Mary Flo, people who doesn't know me, so I will quickly introduce myself. And I started in 99, and I started as a resident DJ at Bunker. Was an iconic club here in Copacabana. And when I started, was not so many women in the market. And I started in this club, and I had the opportunity to play with Miss Keating, Green Velvet, Sven Vat, many big guys. And also when I started, was not electronic music DJ courses. And now I'm also teacher in the IMAC with Rafael Nazaré. Since 3 years, I became also a DJ lessons teacher. And of course, I learn a lot because I think we always learning. And for me, it was also a pleasure to be supporting the new talents. But I always have this integrating vision of the scene. And in this more than 25 years of career, I always manage my own events. I also have a Tropical Beats label for 15 years. And then I did a Noon Party for 12 years. And since 3 years, I'm focused on new project. I participate in the Amsterdam Dance Event Conference a few times and also doing speeches. Before Hot Beats Music Conference, we used to have a real music conference, which I've been part also a few years. And now I'm also did a nice panel in the Hot Beats conference. And I feel very happy to integrate this and to be part of this growing and see that this kind of things is also getting bigger and bigger, which I think is very important to have this cultural approach. And as Nazaré say, is an opportunity for us to be present there, not only online, but like meeting people, doing this network, that is very important, you know. And also they made a partnership with Amsterdam this event this year, so there is more international guests, and then was even better for the global network.
And fantastic. And for anyone that's not familiar, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what Lady of the House is and what you plan to do in Brazil with them.
Yes, so I met Lila in an event with Seth Roxland, which is my friend. I was the first to bring Seth Roxland to Brazil many years ago. And then we met a few years ago in a Hara party. And then we became friends and connected. And since she came last year, I was also supporting her, you know, to get in touch with other women in Brazil, to do interviews with DJ friends that I know. And now I just start as ambassador. But last year I had the chance to release in the label and we reached top 4 on Tech House January. So I was very happy. And especially with all the support they gave me, because I've been releasing many other big labels such as Get Physical, Katemuki, Great Stuff, and also reach other top. But for me, the Lady of the House was very professional and they have the whole team planning all the posts, giving all the support, marketing, advertisement, and also press medias like Mix Mag and also. And so for me, I was really impressed about all the way they work and the support, you know, and I think is very good, especially for the women, you know, for everybody. But I know it's still a market for more men's and other style, but I also support people that doesn't matter the gender, you know. For me, matter the talents you have, you know. And of course, we need more space for women in the scene. But I think it's also important to be open, you know. And now we have this vision also, not only in Brazil, to open more space for, you know, people that are other, like gays or lesbians or whatever. And also like other colors people that I don't have any problem in. But people used to have this in the past, you know, to priorize only men and people that have more money or influence. And now we have a chance to open the market for everybody that has talents in the music. And I think that's the main thing.
That's amazing. And, you know, you've released on some of those other labels as well in Europe. when you're doing your teaching, for example, what kind of strategies do you talk to other artists about in terms of how to get signed into an international label like Lady of the House? How do you make that first leap as a Brazilian artist? Is it just a case of finding the A&Rs, or did you build in Brazil for years before you ever went international?
I mean, I think it's always important to have like an integrate vision and in the scene, you know, when you are artists, it's also important. Maybe you open your own label, or you have a crew of artists that you support, or you have a party, because I think like this, you have a space to change more, you know. In my other parties, I always bring international artists, and that's where I start to have my first opportunities in Europe. For example, Dinox is a very good friend and a German artist that I bring to Brazil to my parties a few times, and we became friends. And he has also his label Sprout, which I released to in the past. And he was the first one to bring me to Europe. And in 2007, I played in the Love Parade, which was a huge event and was a very important gig in my career. And I played in his truck. And for me, it was a completely different experience because we have a samba, we have a carnival, we have this kind of parade here for 1 million people in the street, but not for electronic music. So really impressed me when I arrived there. And I feel even emotion, you know, I even cry after my set because it was something very, you know, for me, unique to see like grandmothers, children in the street and everybody supporting electronic music. And also, of course, also I adapt a little bit my music style in that time, not losing my identity, of course. But we have this Brazilian flavor, as they say. But I mean, because in Germany in that time was completely more underground music than in Brazil. So it was a very big challenge for me. But after that, opened my doors. And after that, I came every year to Europe to play. And also started bringing my label to Europe, doing parties in Europe. I did parties in many clubs in Berlin and also Copenhagen. And then start to build my true relationship that I think is very important when you create a true friends. And, you know, and this makes your career continuate after the years, because when you grow a nice and strong network, you know, it's very important.
It sounds like a very organic way of building. Like, I think a lot of people think about building their label in Brazil, but how do you do that? Do you spend money? Whereas it sounds like with your story, it was more about the relationships you made along the way, and organically it grew into invites and swapping parties. Is that a strategy that you think is right for everyone, or were you lucky, do you feel, in those early days of your career building those relationships?
I think everyone has your own way. You know, even nowadays, people say to be known outside Brazil, you need to be a music producer. I don't think you need to be anything. You need to be yourself and to trust what you're doing. So I think when you believe that, and then you can make your own way. Maybe sometimes you don't like to make music. A lot of people hire ghost producers, and I don't want to judge about this, because I think if you don't feel like doing it, and it's better you don't do it if you're not going to do it properly. So for me, I also started making music, you know. When I started also to make music, there was not courses only, also about music producing. And now we have many, many tools, many courses, many informations in the internet, you know. So I think you can create your own way. Maybe being a producer, maybe opening a label, maybe teaching, maybe... I don't know, but I think it's important to do something else, not only to be like, I want to be a DJ, I want to be in the Tomorrowland stage, but, you know, it's good when you do something else, you know, besides DJing and, of course, practicing and have your own music research and all this. But also when you have this integrated vision, now that you change with people, you open the doors for other people, you support new talents, you think it's very important that this makes you grow more, not thinking only about yourself, but thinking about the group. Also with Lady of the House, we are planning to make a group of ambassadors. So I don't want to be ambassador only myself. I want to invite other women that is important for Brazil market to support me in this work. Because also, as they say, Brazil is such a big country, bigger than Europe. And I think it's too big to manage and to give all the support, because also you have specific areas in Brazil. And of course, different economy levels in the north and in the south of Brazil. So I think we need the different strategies to really give the best support for everybody, you know.
And some problems, I think, are unique to a particular country and others are more universal. And one of the things that is, I think, a challenge right now is getting marketing and visibility on your release, whether you're in Germany or Brazil or America. Everyone, there's so much music coming out now, it can be difficult to kind of figure out your visibility strategy, your marketing strategy. Is there anything that you think is unique to Brazil in terms of how you approach promotion and how you get your track heard by the right people in Brazil?
I mean, I think for everybody, it's important to be in the right place in the right moments and, you know, to be reading about what's going on in the markets, you know, not close about only what you're doing, but to be open, you know, that have this open mind vision. And I think not only in Brazil, but everywhere is very important to have this vision, you know, to be knowing people, to go into the conference. Like what I say, even for my student, before you get to be, you want to be supported for other people, but you should support other people too. You know, people want to get likes on the Instagram, but they don't support other artists. And I think this makes you also, you know, grow when you also support other artists and, you know, have this vision.
Yeah, sharing your platform, I think, is a really key part to raise the success of everyone around you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
And finally, the same question as our other guests, a prediction from you, please, for the next 12 to 18 months. Any artists that you want to tip or any predictions that you think will be happening?
I mean, I have now a new platform event. There is a collaborative platform event called Tangram Movement that I developed after I have other projects, and it's based on the Chinese puzzle, and we appreciate all forms of art. So in my events, it's not only about the music, but we open space for other artists like a dance performance, VJ lives, and fashion things. And I'm very happy with the results I'm achieving right now. We did 5 parties last year, including one party in Switzerland, which I have a partner there. And I'm planning to spread the brand around the world. And I'm planning also to be in the Amsterdam Dance Event next year. I hope also doing showcases and also doing panels there to show the concept of this. And in the Tangram Movement, we also don't have a fixed style, you know. We can be anything about flexible, because I think nowadays we need to be flexible. My name, Flow, came also for this vision, to be go with the flow. And nowadays I say we need to be the fucking flow, because we need to be really flexible with everything's going on. Everything's changing so fast. And I passed through all this technology revolution since I start. I start with Denon, you know, we didn't have even the first DJs. And then now we were even having training in IMAX school about the new 3000X CDJs and also new mixes and all stuff. So I think you need to be really open and all the time learning new things. You know, you can never think that you know enough. And in my events now, we're going to do this Friday in the Edge São Paulo. We're going to do, we're bringing Nick Curley from UK. And in 2 weeks, we're going to bring Madalena from Germany. And we're going to have also Brazil game in the rooftop of the Edge. Nowadays, I'm represented by the Edge team, which I'm very proud and have a true relationship with Renato Hachia, the owner, for a long time. And so I've been doing parties there. And also in August, we're going to celebrate 1 year of this brand. And then we're going to do a bigger party in a historic place in Rio. And so I think like this, I continue to have this changing, you know, bringing artists. And we have a contest also that we're going to do a contest for the new talent. So people that want to play in my party, they can participate in the contest. And, you know, is a way to open, because, of course, now I'm giving DJ lessons, and a lot of my students ask me opportunities to play in my events, and I don't have space to everybody, but then what I can do is to open at least a space every party to the new talents can participate, you know?
That's great. Thank you so much, Marianne, and we'll put links to your projects in the show description notes. Thank you for joining us today.
Great, great. Thanks a lot. And I also have a label also nowadays that's called Music is Magic. Music is Magic is, has a purpose to support the healing things, you know. It's still a new concept, and we've been doing events like a yoga events, cacao dance events, events that don't sell alcohol usually. So something that I invested, that I have this vision for the future, that music heals, you know. Einstein already said that, and I believe in that, but it's still something new. Yeah.
Thank you, Marianne. Fernanda, welcome to the conversation. Last but not least, how are you?
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Philip, for this conversation. Thank you to promote this. We are talking about Brazil for a long time, and now we are seeing the actions happen. So happy to be here to share a little bit about. And so happy to see that Brazil is now its focus for important discussions around the world.
That's fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Perhaps you could give us a little bit of a background about your role for TuneCore and the other work you've been doing in Brazil.
Yeah, for sure. So I am first of all, I'm a DJ, also music producer. Music producer formatted by iMac Rio with Rafa. So just to focus this. So guys, I've been working in this industry, music business industry in Brazil for 10 years, working as A&R in a big company label, in a big record label, working as music supervisor at TV channel, and as a music editor at Apple Music here in Brazil. And now I am coordinating all the operations of TuneCore in Brazil and keep playing as a DJ because the passions walk around. So on my background, I spent through different points of the Brazilian ecosystem music business as an artist, as A&R, as a TV, and as a music editor, as a platform. And now you can see the new industry, the Brazilian industry is growing, and we can feel the industry is more mature and in different ways, not exactly for electronic, but for the dependent on the gender. Brazil, it's a diverse country. We have a lot of own gender. We can see this industry very mature. And I am walking through this. I work with artists developing big projects. Now at TuneCore, I am managing the country, the opportunities, understand how to grow with the company, how explore opportunities for the artists, how to connect artists with DSPs, opportunities to put them in the focus. We are working with different strategies like working as a labor for the artists and keep these artists in opportunity with Believe Group. Believe is so consolidated music distribution here in Brazil. So we are, I am working, connecting these opportunities and also contribute to grow this way of independent artists, to keep this way more mature with more information, more accessible for every artist here.
That's amazing. And sitting in that seat of TuneCore Brazil, the music that you see coming through, like, what does that tell you about the independent kind of sector in Brazil right now? Do you think there's a big growth in artists creating their own projects and you're seeing more and more music come through?
Yes. So we are seeing, I guess, two or three years ago, we saw a movement like big artists ended their deals with record labels, majors, to follow their ways, independence. And now it's a normal movement. Like, for example, now we are seeing more and more independent artists and more big artists following their independent ways to have more flexibility, to have a more freedom, to have a more about monetization for offshore. And also we can see the volume of release every day growing a lot. So Brazil understand the independent movement, the independent distribution. And and the artist is investing these everyday big artists now release their songs independent and understand, for example, the movement of the gender. Oh, okay, this artist is a breakthrough artist, so take them distribute by our labels independent, and we are working closely. So other movements like Brazilian forró and Brazilian sertanejo have a different polos, different teams of how working with this way, and also electronic music too. For example, we have A-Lock with his label Controversial. He is his songs, but also offering opportunities for break new artists, mid-level artists to distribute and to movement this ecosystem every day.
That's great. Thank you, Fernanda. And in terms of the streaming market, are there any nuances or details that you think are unique to Brazil? So, for example, you have perhaps Deezer is big in France. Like, what are the major streaming strategies, do you think, in Brazil for electronic artists?
It's funny to say, because we are always complaining about everything. So in Brazil, we have the same thing, because electronic music consumption here, it's a specific number for into the community, but outside this is not too expressive, because we have the biggest other gender. But and into the DSPs, the Brazilian DSPs, the Brazilian teams here, we can see a specific electronic music editor for playlists. So we need to talk about the mainstream contents, or we need to pitch and release outside country to have support here. But we can see the DSPs looking around, looking for the movement, looking for the break new things into electronic music. Of course, we notice a delay, for example, something that is completed in the electronic music, have some time to share this with DSPs, but Deezer is working. This is so big. This is the second, I guess it's the second DSP in Brazil, the second or the third. It's so big. It's looking for electronic music producing and create more playlists. It's not exactly just electronic music Brazil, no. Electronic to running, electronic to go to the beach, promoting these independent on the gender, but moods and other ways to promote songs, to monetizing, to share the new tracks with the audience. So we can see Amazon Music investing a lot about campaigns in Brazil as outside offline media campaigns in São Paulo, in subway stations in São Paulo, and these kind of things. So promoting Brazilian artists and also promoting playlists with funky, forró, electronic, and also focus on electronic. We have Amazon campaigns like you can connect with Alexa, and it's so famous in Brazil, and promote songs with Alexa, different campaigns into the app as a marquee, Spotify marquee too. Spotify is working as a equal movement that Marion says about more women in the stage. So Spotify is working with WICO movements, and we are also indicate more women independent on electronic, but I am always focused to incentivize more DJs, more women DJs in these kind of campaigns. So we are seeing DSPs have a movement to support, but we have this delay because how about I say in the beginning, they don't have a specific editor about the gender in Brazil, but they are looking for, they are trying to create, and they are trying to understand the representation of this gender for the industry.
That's amazing. Thank you for breaking that down and in the detail, especially with the kind of the media campaigns, the offline yes. media campaigns. That's a kind of an interesting aspect that's perhaps unique to Brazil. That again, this is the kind of thing that we need as part of the podcast, that we can understand the nuance and the detail. We partnered together, obviously, on Hot Beats for a panel and in terms of education for creators and musicians. I'm interested to understand what you think, if there are any friction points for independent artists. If is it metadata? Is it understanding their rights? Is it registration? Is it visibility at DSPs? Like, what do you think are the most common complaints or misunderstandings that you're faced with by the Brazilian artist community?
So Brazil has the biggest challenge, but it's not talent or creative, because we has an abundance of both. So about friction points, the two big challenges for me is the language and the currency. Because of course the language, it's a barrier, but it's not the end of the thing. And the currency, that we have a problem to convert everything about our monetization. So we can see this about the language. For me, the main thing, it's about access of information. So Brazil, it's a consistent industry, but we can see limited information and limited support from DSPs or from music distribution for the artists, for the clients, for the managers, and the currency, because when you receive, you lose a lot of fees around this. And so the tax around the way that the money needs to do from the DSP to the artist, it's too long. And you can lose a lot of tax about Brazilian laws and that kind of things. So I think this is a freaking point. So, but also thinking about metadata consistency, right, registration, I keep defend this discussion about access of information, because now it's too easy to distribution music on Spotify or YouTube, but and people can do this in two. With Tunicor, we can do this in 5 minutes, easy. But I can see who knows and who don't know nothing, doesn't know nothing about it. So just distribute, I saw a tutorial on YouTube and put this here, but don't understand nothing about rights, and sometimes use samples or something that will prejudice in the future, because break in a copyright issue. So I keep defend the access of information, but we can see a mature industry. We can see the managers and the artist officers trying to understand about the algorithms, about the publishing administration, about the rights registration, to follow their lives as a company, as an independent artist. Okay, but as independent artists, no company way. So I guess it's the freaking points for us. But I believe it's in a future soon will be more, it will be better than now.
I think that you've got to have that positive attitude that it'll be a slow growth of improvement. Can I ask, where do you think there is a place where you can send artists and managers to want to learn about these issues? Is there a specific place that you send them to learn about publishing or about metadata or about songwriting splits or about registration? Like, what is the home for that information that you send Portuguese speaking people to?
So we have a lot of courses in Brazil. I've done some. The mainly it's music copyright and technology. So when we discuss with lawyers about copywriting things and this kind of things, but a place that you can find this every information together, no. So on Tunicor, something that I always do with the artists that work with me is understand the problem, try to find an easy explanation. So something, for example, YouTube problems. So I asked the YouTube team, guys, we have these problems. How to explain this for the artists? And they sent me a guidance to send for the artists and explain this. We are always trying to put the artists in touch with the information to understand the problem or to understand the benefit that the tool or the platform offered for them. But a specific place to understand this whole thing, no. It's when I started my career 10 years ago working at Som Livre, it was one of the things that annoyed me a lot, because how I can have this information because I work here and people then have more experience than me, doesn't know because don't have this kind of daily routine that I have. So it's annoying me a lot, but it's not a justice, you know, it's not a justice industry. But we are every day fighting to keep this difference less than before.
That's great. And finally, your prediction for the next 12 to 18 months for what you think the scene will be like in Brazil?
Something that is not something pretty new, but two things that I am seeing a lot. Multi-platform working, not focus only one. You need to be very active in every platform and need to be using every tool that every platform that are offering to you. And now in Brazil, we are talking about communities. So engaging artists will grow into their communities, because this community will concept the live shows, will buy merchandising, will concept streamings. And these the artists that understand the how to keep this community engaging will grow and will keep consistent, will grow consistent and will keep growing solid in a solid way, because we are growing in terms of streaming, but in terms of live performance, we are facing a crisis about monetizing, about people buying tickets, about the price of everything, the currency, you know? So community will save careers. You need to keep engagement, career, community, a strength community, because this community, you promote you artists, you promote the artists, we will buy the merchandising, we will understand the brand partnerships that you are doing, and we'll probably buy the tickets and invite a friend to buy another ticket. So this kind of experience will, I am seeing this kind of experience more strongly than before, and will be the future if everybody turn the key for this this way.
That's great. Thank you so much. Community will save careers. I think that's I'll remember that. I think that's a great line. I would like to thank all of our guests today for appearing on AFM Industry Insider podcast. Also thanks to Distorted, who produce our podcasts. And thank you for listening. All of our speakers' projects will be in the description of this podcast. Please don't forget to like and subscribe, and we will see you next time. Thanks for now.
This is the AFEM Industry Insider,
the podcast from the Association for Electronic Music.